It is 438 on downtown, brought to you by Hollywood Casino Hotel and Raceway at 500 Main Street in downtown Bangor. Rich Kimble here on the Pulse, WZON. Our next guest on the program has been a Major League Baseball broadcaster for many years. The Texas Rangers, Baltimore Orioles, Washington Nationals, San Diego Padres. Also broadcast the NBA, the LA Clippers, the Washington Bullets, and more. He's the author of several books, including a brand new one entitled The Little General, Gene Mock, A Baseball Life. Mel Proctor, welcome to Downtown.
Rich, thank you.
It sounds like a great book. I grew up as a big fan of Gene Mock, and maybe it's because I'm attracted, and as a Red Sox fan, like those guys who came so close and just missed. But is that an unfair way to remember Gene Mock?
I think so. He's remembered by some for having come so close to getting to the World Series and yet winning over 1,900 games and never making it. And three times he was within one out of getting to the World Series, and so he's often remembered for that. But he should be remembered for other things as well. 19 players who played under Gene went on to become big league managers. So he taught guys a lot about baseball. He loved the game. He was passionate about it. A lot of the things that he put into the game, like the double switch and things of that nature that are being used today, were all Gene Mock's inventions.
Yeah, and he was a guy who loved small ball at a time when power hitters were the norm and not quite the steroid era, but there were some pretty good sluggers around when he decided to go in a different direction.
Well, sure, but his philosophy was, if I get one run, then you need two to beat me. So from the first inning on, he would use a sacrifice bunt. Guy'd get on, bunt. And that would go on and on. His team's always bunted more than any team in the league. And several times his team's led the league in runs scored, but was far down the list in home runs. So his way was productive. And when he was with the Angels toward the end of his career, he had opportunity to play both kinds of ball. He had mashers like, you know, Reggie Jackson and Brian Downing and Fred Lynn and people like that, but he also had Bob Boone and Tim Foley at the bottom of the order who could play little ball.
You mentioned the number of great players that he had along the way. Who was the prototypical Gene Mock player?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would say probably Bob Boone, but Boone didn't get to Mock until he was 34 years old. He'd already accomplished a lot with the Philadelphia Phillies. He'd won a world championship. He'd been an all-star, won Gold Gloves, but he said he never really understood baseball until Gene Mock got a hold of him. And he and Mock had spent countless hours together before games just going over pitch sequences to get hitters out. And he would sit with Gene in the dugout watching opposing hitters in the batting cage looking for weaknesses. And one of the things Gene did was to control the running game by having his pitchers hold the ball or throw to first or use a slide step. And that helped Boone immensely because it allowed him to throw out 62% of opposing base dealers one year. And Boone felt that Mock was the smartest baseball man he'd ever known. And, of course, his dad, Ray, was a big leaguer. But when Bob Boone took over as the manager of the Kansas City Royals, he brought Gene Mock out of retirement to be his bench coach. And he said Gene was just magnificent with those players.
What was it about Gene Mock that made him, for you, an interesting subject to write about?
Well, I actually got to know him. I was between baseball jobs and took a job as a TV sportscaster in Palm Springs, California. And Gene lived there. He'd retired from baseball and played golf every day. And it was 2002, and the Giants and Angels were in the World Series. And I knew that Gene had managed the Angels and was remembered for one of those failures, coming one strike away from getting to the World Series. So I called him. I didn't really know him. I met him, but got a hold of him, and he said, come on over to the house. And I went over, and we talked. And I said, look, Gene, I'd like you to be an analyst. Come on with me on television before and after the World Series games. So he said, okay, yeah, I'll do it. I said, but we've got one problem here. We can't pay you because it's a startup TV station with no revenue yet. So he said, oh, just give me a gross of my favorite golf balls and I'll do it. So I worked out a trade with the local golf shop, got him his golf balls. He did it, and as I figured, he was spectacular. He he loved the game still. There was no bitterness whatsoever. He would play golf all day, but the video recorder was running at the time, and he'd tape four games and sit there at night with a cocktail or two and watch the games. And I often went over there and sat with him, sat around and talked baseball. So we became pretty good friends and stayed in touch after that. And it just always stuck with me how interesting he was and multifaceted. And the more I talked to other people about him, I found out more and more and thought, well, this might make a good book.
We're talking with Mel Proctor. His book is The Little General, Gene Mock, A Baseball Life. Mel, what was the most surprising thing you learned about Gene in your conversations?
Oh, boy. Well, Gene was kind of guarded until he got to know you. One time he really opened up. The love of Gene's life was his first wife, Nina Lee. And she unfortunately passed away while he was managing the Angels. And he was never quite the same after that. But we were standing out in his driveway because his second wife wouldn't let him smoke in the house. You know, and he was a chain smoker. So we're standing out in the driveway, and he's smoking. And he really opened up to me and said, you know, when I lost my first wife, my life just changed so much. He said, I was so lonely for so long. And, boy, the feeling of the loneliness just hit me. As I said, he remarried, but I don't think it was ever the same.
Now, Mel, I also understand that you do not only a pretty good Richard Nixon impression, but the great Harry Carey as well. Could you do perhaps one of those for us?
Well, I am the president after all. And I listen to the station in Bangor, Maine for most of my information. Well, how do you feel about that?
I love it. That's great. We're talking with Mel Proctor, his book, The Little General, Gene Mock, A Baseball Life. You also wrote a book with one of the great titles of all time that we can all identify with in radio and television. I love the work, but I hate the business.
Yeah, that came out about a year ago, and I'm hoping that this book will do well and get people to go back and buy the other book, because I think the other book is terrific. It's filled with anecdotes, funny stories from all my years in broadcasting. A lot of the good, some of the bad, some of the painful things that happen in this crazy business. And I think for anybody who's thinking about getting into the business, they should read this book first. It's kind of a cautionary tale, but it is funny.
But I also have to ask you about another book you wrote, because my real name, it's not a radio name, my given name is Richard Kimble, and you wrote The Fan's Guide to the Fugitive. Man, oh man, that's been haunting me since I was a little kid. Thank you, David Jansen.
Well, first of all, how did you get the name Richard Kimble?
Well, it was handed to me by my mom.
Was she a fugitive fan?
No, and my dad was not a one-armed man.
Yeah, that's David Jansen played Dr. Richard Kimble, who was found guilty of murdering his wife and escaped and was chased around the country by Lieutenant Gerard. One of the great television shows. And so I just had this wild idea that I would investigate it and research it, and met the producer of the old show, and he put me in touch with the casting director, who put me in touch with all kinds of people. Doors just opened up, and I traveled all around meeting these people, including spending time with Lieutenant Gerard Barry Morris up in Toronto. So it was great fun doing it. David Jansen, of course, had passed away by then, but I met his two ex-wives. I shared donuts and coffee with his mother. So it was a lot of fun doing the book.
Well, and also, if I remember right, the Fugitive was the first television show that had a planned finale. They knew they were going off the air, and they decided, we have to finally resolve this and let Richard Kimble catch that one-armed man.
That's true. They knew it was going to end, so they devised a finale, and everybody on the crew and the actors and all of the production people were told not to divulge a word of the ending. So nobody said anything. They all kept their word, and the final episode was the highest-rated show in television history at that point. I think it's still in the top 20 list, but it's just dropped down behind several Super Bowls and some other things. But at that time, I mean, television sets were on, and people were just glued to their TV sets. In fact, some major league teams changed the starting time of their game that night so people could watch The Fugitive.
There you go. So we got a little Fugitive insight as well as into Gene Mocha, Baseball Life, The Little General is Mel Proctor's newest book. Mel, thanks so much for being with us, and good luck with the book.
Rich, a pleasure. Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you. It's 11 minutes to go till the top of the hour on Downtown.